This morning we're about to bring to a close a short series on the Holy Spirit. And I want to introduce it this morning by taking you back to another dark hour. The darkest hour I think I've had in my life. It was more of a dark season. It was the springtime of 2008. And I was in intensive marriage counseling, but our marriage was definitely on life support, and there was no healing happening. The four churches that I had served up to that point in my years in the pastorate, all four were experiencing a major destruction going on in them, different kinds of things in the different places. But in particular in Kansas City, where I was at the time, I had had a dream of creating a young adult ministry. And we had built it around, there was a team of 18 of us. All the rest were young adults. And we had started a worship service, which we called Soma Christu, the body of Christ. And it was so fun, but it had failed. And it had just come to an ending, and week by week I was receiving news about yet another young person, a young couple, a collegian that had left the church and was going looking for greener pastures. It was devastating to me. And it seemed like as if everything that I had worked for these 33 years was going to come to naught. It really looked and felt like it just doesn't matter. My life's work hasn't mattered. So as I had done on a number of other occasions in these dark nights of the soul that I had had over the decades, I prayed to God, pleading with him to let me out of the pastorate, that it just wasn't the right place for me. Thankfully, a friend of mine had pointed me to a book. And it's called, I'm sure it's a title that you don't have on your shelf. It's called The Journals of Alexander Schmemann. Have that one? Must read. Actually, it really is a must read. He was a Russian Orthodox priest and theologian. And his insights for a pastor are stunning. But most of all, it was his vulnerability and honesty. And as I would read him, I would cry because I felt like, other than one mentor that I still have alive in my life today, who's a retired pastor, that that no one really understood me and what I was going through like Schmemann did, even though he died in 1983. I was just sitting in a Starbucks across the street from the Sprint campus of the telecommunications giant in Kansas City. And I was reading this word from him about how he struggled day by day with meetings and decisions. And he felt like he tried really hard, and yet he always became the scapegoat. And he had these so many things. It just seemed like they were taken right out of my life, that he was reading my journal and then writing it in his. And a young man who worked there at the Starbucks, walking past, suddenly knelt down. Right at that moment. And he said, you know, we were introduced the other day. I'm Michael. I'm the assistant manager here. And as I do my job, as I walk around, I pray for people. I just pray. And every once in a while, God gives me something that is for a certain person. And he just did that for you. Would you like to hear it? So, let me ask you the question. What would you have said? Some of you would have said yes. I imagine even if you would say yes, you would recognize that what God's going to say to me right now is a mystery. I don't know what he's going to say. That's the risk. So here was this young man that I knew by first name, and I didn't know a thing about him, and he didn't know a thing about me, other than the fact that he knew that I was a pastor. And he claims to have received something from God, and it's like he's come from who knows where. And he's going who knows where. But he's been given something that he is inviting me to receive. I don't have to. All of this is shrouded in mystery. And that's why I tell the story today, because that's the stuff of our passage. It's about the Holy Spirit who remains a mystery to us. Let us pray. Lord, this day, maybe above many days, mystery abounds. We have questions we can't answer. We are people who have had things happen in our lives that we can't sometimes even talk about, let alone make sense out of. There are times that we don't know where you are. And there are times we could swear we don't know who you are. And we keep coming back because we long to know you, and we long to know you today. And pray that you would unveil once again and allow us to see that which we need to see so that we might do our part in what needs to be done. Lord, we're not asking for comprehensive knowledge. We're asking that you would let us know that part of the mystery that is most helpful to us today. It might be 250 or 300 different stories. But come, Lord Jesus, we pray, by the Holy Spirit. We ask in the beloved name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture is taken from John chapter 3. And I only asked for verses 1 to 8 on the screen, but I'm going to add verse 9, just because it's kind of an exclamation mark. Hear the word of God. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above," born again. Nicodemus said to him, "What? How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" This is the word of the Lord. There's mystery written all over this passage. For one thing, Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the dark of night, and we're not told why. We have a good idea. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He is a ruler of the Jews, which means he's on the Sanhedrin. About 80 of the religious leaders of the nation. Very few are Pharisees. They're almost all what we would call the aristocrats. Those who were Sadducees. Those who had pretty much marked out the supernatural, the miracles. They were a small party. We don't know a lot about the Sadducees, but we know that they were people of power who were the interface, primarily with the Romans. But Nicodemus is one of these purity-oriented conservatives. And he would have been many times uncomfortable in the midst of this Sanhedrin, and easily marked by people as being one of the bad guys on the Sanhedrin. So to keep peace, one of the last things that he would want to do would be to be seen with Jesus, because they have already decided as a council that something's going to have to be done to get rid of Jesus. So we think that he came because out of fear or out of concern about complication of his life if he's seen, you know, sitting down and having a nice talk with Jesus. But we don't know for sure. So he comes, and what's clear is that Jesus is a mystery to him. He doesn't get him. If we can believe that he's sincere here, and I believe that he is, he's able to say, there's no doubt, nobody does the things you do, these miracles that my colleagues on the Sanhedrin don't believe in. These miracles are stunning, and only God can do that. You are obviously a man sent by God, but you just threw out the money changers, just prior passage. And that is not okay. That's crazy, the chaos you're creating. It's crazy. I mean, that's an income stream that we need, and that it benefits the people of Israel. You know, who are you? Now, it doesn't say all that in the passage, but we can only surmise it. Nicodemus comes in going, I'm here to try to figure out, who are you? And Jesus, in response to the statement that he makes, and then the question that follows soon thereafter, says to him, a mystery. You must be born again, born from above. You must have a second birth. And Nicodemus, of course, responds to this with, what? How can that be? How can that be? Nobody can be born two times. And Jesus is, I think, amused a little bit by, you're one of the rulers. Later in the passage, he says, you call yourself one of the rulers and teachers of Israel, but you don't know about these things? And so the fourth mystery that just immediately jumps out of the passage is, and so why is it that Jesus is always talking in riddles, parables and signs? And throughout the Gospel of John, he's always kind of ambiguous, almost like as if he's trying to draw people in to come and see. So when Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit here, he introduces the Holy Spirit into a cloud of mystery. And that is intentional, I believe, on his part, because he is making a point about mystery, the mystery of the Holy Spirit. It accentuates the one thing here that he's about to say. Now, I want to paraphrase what Jesus is saying, and you should take it with a grain of salt, because it is not exactly the Word of God, I'm sure. But this is to try to put into our own words what Jesus is saying. And the first thing that he's saying to Nicodemus is, Nicodemus, there is a lot that you don't understand. And Jesus is saying that to you and me today. There is a lot, Paul, that you don't understand. Maybe I want to invite you to say it with me. That there's a lot I don't understand. There's a lot I don't understand. That never has there been a truer statement. It's a proper humility. He goes on to say, there's so much, Nicodemus, you don't have control over. Say that with me. There is so much I don't have control over. True. I mean, Nicodemus doesn't control the wind, obviously. The Holy Spirit, word for spirit and wind, many of you know, is the same word in Hebrew, ruach. And so he's using it in a double entendre here. He says, you know, you hear the wind coming, but you don't know exactly where it's coming from, and you don't know where it's going and what happens to it. And you can't grab it and control it. And yet, Nicodemus, you, as one of the teachers of Israel, think that you know more than you do, and you think you control more than you do. No, you don't understand about the second birth. And that's why the only proper posture for you, Nicodemus, is with your hands open and teachable. Learn from me. And that's really what he's teaching here. You too, Nicodemus, you too who have been Christians pretty much all your life, you too must receive the life from above. You are not in charge. I am not in charge. I do not have all the answers. I don't even have very many answers. I have a few answers. And even those I try to handle with great humility because of how easily I can abuse what little knowledge I have. Even though I am a teacher of the people of God, I am not in control. Jesus, I think, if we were to put it into our own words today, is inviting Nicodemus to come to a place where he would stop fighting it. Stop fighting life as if somehow we're supposed to have it all together and have all the answers. It's not a bad thing to seek after answers. But it is a bad thing to make pretend that you have them when you only have them in part. We would do so well with open hands to say, I don't know. But I trust the Holy Spirit who will remind me of what Jesus said. And over time, together, we'll get it. I think that we'll understand much more. But today, I must surrender. I must surrender. Jesus humbled Nicodemus. This is not what you would expect if you were like, oh, here's one of the rulers. I'm going to cozy up to him and try to persuade him. No, he meets him with, here, you're asking a question, making a statement. Let me tell you something. You need to be born again. Huh. What a crowd pleaser. Michael said, the Lord was just, this was May the 3rd, 2008, by the way, in the Starbucks across the street from Sprint. You can go there yourself. He said, the Lord just was speaking this to me. From the earliest age, you have had my favor. I always brought other men around you so that you would know, in spite of your father's failures towards you, of your heavenly Father's heart for you. The dreams you had before you became a pastor, there is still room for them. The time has not run out. You're unsure of what you should do, like Schmemann. Where did he get that? You're unsure of what you should do, and like Schmemann, you're filled with desires that would remove you from meetings and activities associated with being a good soldier and responsible and always the one to be counted on. And I'm telling you that there is time for something else, something more. The dreams you have killed, the dreams you entertain but hedge your heart against. My son, you have always been faithful with time and money in your heart. You have been humble and meek. Though you are gifted such that you could do almost anything, you have made humility first, and your gifts you have subordinated to humility. Your giftedness is so great, you can relate to almost anyone. But you have become a recluse, not wanting to be important to anyone. Everything you have asked and desired for your family, every prayer has been heard. None has gone unheard, and I will bring each and every one to pass. It is sure and certain and done. Psalm 40, verses 5 and 7, it is written down. I have heard you in all that you have cried out about in your own life for direction regarding the future. And the hourglass has been turned over, and time is running out on those things coming to pass. But the fulfillment of them is in my hands. The answer is in my power. Wait and see. It depends on me, not you. I will send a young man who will come and tell you. Careful about going to Starbucks. Obviously, those words are very meaningful to me. The one thing I'll tell you about them is that almost everything in there that no one in the world knew, only God would know. And he made that very clear to me, that what he wanted of me was to surrender. That's what he wants from you too. It's the answer to the spiritual life. It's the answer to the Christian life. It's the answer for you and me. And it's the answer to us as a church. And it will be our one and only answer when we come together on Thursday and say goodbye to Judy. And what an answer it is. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we don't understand much. Not nearly as much as we want to and think we do and yearn for and reach for. And we're not in control of very much either. It takes most of our lives before we get to the place where we realize that we never really did have that much control. But you do, and you come, and we don't know where you're coming from, and you come, and you show up, and then you go, and it's a mystery to us, and yet you have the nerve to say to us, trust me, though you do not understand, trust me. Help us, Lord God, in our unbelief, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.